Welcome to page 31. This is a short page. I know you've had a couple of long pages, so it feels fair. And I know I might have even already said the information here on this page. Forgive me if it's redundant. It's just that this is significant, and I wanted to kind of take a moment to repeat it and remember it and kind of highlight it for us. Okay, so you'll see here on this page the lamb, the paschal lamb, Jesus. On the left side of your page, the Last Supper. On the right side, the crucifixion. At the bottom, the new covenant. So what I really want to emphasize to you here on this page is that this new covenant that Jesus started, it was through the events of the Last Supper and the crucifixion. Today, how we live the new covenant is through the Eucharist, through the Mass. And Mass obviously is 1 hour, but the Mass, it's like it starts on Thursday night and it ends on Friday afternoon. Both the Last Supper and the crucifixion are present in the Mass. We can't do Mass without one or the other, okay? Jesus obviously instituted the Mass at the Last Supper. He instituted the priests, he ordained the priests in order to do the Mass at the Last Supper. He did the more form of the Mass that we see, where he, takes the bread and says, "This is my body," and he takes the cup. Obviously, it's more visually like, okay, this is the Last Supper. But none of that would have mattered or made a difference or anything if the crucifixion hadn't happened. He says, "This is my body given up for you," but then he actually gives up his body for you on the cross. The next page that you're about to go into is called the Four Cups of Passover, and that will detail really how this works. That on Thursday, usually at Passover, there's four cups, but Jesus stopped and saved one cup for Friday. So it's like he stretched out that Last Supper meal to actually include the crucifixion in the Thursday night. Do you see what I'm saying? So the timeline thing here, if you see in the middle of your page, the little like horizontal line, if you want to write Thursday night to Friday at 3 p.m., that is the duration of the Mass. And I guess maybe that is not like mind-blowing to you, but for me, when I'm sitting there at Mass, sometimes I'm tempted to think, first, this is long, and second, like, where do we get all these pieces of the Mass? But we are, when we're at Mass, we are both, sitting there at the Last Supper with the Lord. This is, in remembrance of him and the fact that he did this and then he gave authority to his apostles to do it. We are imitating his Last Supper and we're fully participating in the crucifixion. When at the Mass, when the consecration happens, we believe that it's like a representation of Calvary. It's not a representation. It's like it's re-happening in a non-bloody way. And in that moment when the priest holds up the host, Jesus is fully present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But there's another moment where he also holds up the host above the chalice. He has broken the host and he holds up the host and he holds up the chalice and he prays to God the Father. It's the end of the doxology, the periepsum of the Eucharistic prayer. And he says, through him, with him, in him. And he's offering up, our eyes should travel up from that host and chalice that the priest is holding up to the crucifix, which is usually in most Catholic churches, like directly above the altar. There's usually the crucifix is one of the central things you see in the Catholic Church. So it's like through him, with him, in him, he is being raised up. There he is again on the crucifix. In this moment, it's like this is the body which we're about to partake in, given up for us because it was given up for us on the cross. So I don't know, it just feels like it's a collision of worlds, and I don't know, something that I've heard before that's been really impactful for me at the Mass is like if we only knew all the invisible things that we're not seeing, all the things that are, tricking our eyes, that there's angels and saints and the church is not just full of the few of us. Maybe sometimes there's few of us. Sometimes it's very crowded, which is awesome, but like it's full of angels and saints and heavenly reality because we're here at the foot of the cross again, at the crucifixion, and this is where we get to receive his body and the blood of the lamb that saves us. Also worth pointing out, if I haven't said this and if it hasn't been clear yet, this is Jesus establishing a new covenant. This is not the same thing as the old covenant. They have been in the old covenant with the Mosaic law and the Davidic covenant for a long time. They have done all the things that follow those laws, Leviticus, the civil laws, the ceremonial laws, the moral laws. Jesus is coming and he is fulfilling the law. He is, some things are not necessary anymore. Animal sacrifice, temple worship, the things that they used to do because he's establishing a new covenant. And the new way of worship is not through animal sacrifice, it's through the sacrifice of the Mass. And it's not through blood offerings or sin offerings or animal offerings for our sin, it's through confession. And it's through the ministry, not just for the Jews, by the Jews, to stay pure and to stay set apart from the rest of the world, but it's for all and spread to everybody. And we access it through baptism. And we're adopted into his family. We're not just creatures of God, we're family of God, and now we're adopted sons of God, and we're co-heirs through Christ. Like, it is a step further. And so this is the covenant that we're in now in, 2026. And it's just such a amazing gift that we get to be part of this covenant. And I don't know, I just wanted to point that out. Okay, move on to the next page, and we'll talk about the four cups of Passover.